the show. We'd like you all to know we're very, very thankful that you're here. We can leave you feeling numb, but now the week is almost done. So open up those big old hearts and open up your ears. There's a special delivery for all you special freaks and norms and nerds. There's a special delivery of stuff that you'll be happy that you heard. Cool. Okay. It was a good show today. Karta Munir is here. And also, thank you for coming. And I'm going to now play a classic rock and roll song. Sunset by the Kinks. And now, a couple a couple months ago, I recorded this song with my friend Mike Collins, who plays as a drug dealer. He's not a drug dealer, and I don't think he's ever been a drug dealer, so make of that what you will. But I guess the Beatles... Beatles aren't actually Beatles. They're people. So that's an unfair standard to impose on a band. I don't know what I'm saying. they're not bugs.
Try to break away, I know I
for him. Can't stop saying I adore him. He's got the power of love over me. Me, 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 me. He makes me go when I don't want to go. He makes me stay when I don't want to stay. And though I try to break the spell, I know I can't stop doing things for him. Can't stop saying I adore him. He's got the power of love over me. Can't help the way I need him. He's got me crazy as can be, but I love him. He's got the special something, and that's the one thing that has got a hold on me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He makes me do what I don't want to do. He makes me say what I don't want to say. And though I try to break the spell, I know I can't stop doing things for him. Can't stop saying I adore him. Got the power of love over me. Thank you.
One of my favorite things about this show is every time we have done this show, I've had to remind you to mic check, and that you also forget the format of the show with every episode.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. You're right.
Before the show, we were talking.
It's not because I don't care.
No, I don't think it's because you don't care either. I think it's because you're forgetful.
Okay.
I also think you don't listen to the show back, which is fair because I listen to it when I have to edit it. But other than that, the idea of recreationally listening to myself talk is a nightmare to me.
Agreed.
Why do you do recorded music then? This is like curious to me because isn't the whole point that you were recorded and you get to listen to it back over and over again?
Yeah, but when you do that, you can like make it perfect.
You don't think this is perfect, man? What the fuck?
No.
In my head, we're hitting home runs every time, just knocking it straight out of the park.
Yeah.
So this album of yours is like basically done now, right?
Yes.
It also seems like, because we talked about this before the show, you don't want to listen to this album anymore. You are sick of it and it is over for you.
Yes.
So I don't expect you to answer this for everyone, but and this is me asking it as a non-musician. It seems like making art is tortuous and sucks.
Sometimes.
Yeah. I don't know why anyone does this.
Yeah.
Is the part of it that you like revel in? Because it doesn't seem like it's like the it's done and now I get to listen to it. Is it the making it? Is it the doing
it
live?
Everybody looking at me and saying nice things to me.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Affirmation. I hear people like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm really excited for this show.
Yeah, me too.
Thanks for coming as playing. Who I think now that Rachel's playing this show, everyone who played that weird Central Park Christmas show we did has been on this show. For those who weren't at that show, which is probably only like half of you, 2 years ago, I decided it'd be a good idea to book an outdoor show in Central Park right before Christmas, and we all froze to death. It was terrible. Nobody could play their guitar.
Yeah, I remember, it was so cold. I remember feeling like full anger like while I was playing.
Oh,
I was
man.
Like, what the fuck am I doing here? Why am I doing this?
I would like to say I've never heard that before. Yeah, so thanks for coming to this plane. And our first guest is Carta Monier. She is a cartoonist that has a book coming out soon. But if you don't want to wait for soon, you could buy multiple zines and small press comics over the internet. Everyone, clap for Carta. Carta, come on stage. Can you all hear me? Is this good level? Okay.
Hi.
Hey. Welcome. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you.
So the first thing I want to talk about is this book you did 2 or 3 years ago called Secure Connect.
Mm-hmm.
And it highlights the thing you do that I'm most impressed by, which is you mix scenes that are both you. The character is you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, cool. It is you doing something that is meant to be interpreted literally. You doing things that are meant to be interpreted either in like a fantasy world or an internal world. It is a non-literal realm.
Right.
And then you doing things that are happening online.
Right.
It is you in a chat room talking to other people, and you're all posting pictures and talking to each other.
Right.
And the thing about that that I'm really impressed by is I feel like we're in a stage now where a lot of the momentous events in our life are happening online,
mm-hmm.
and it is mostly like us sitting in like a Burger King typing on our phone, breaking up with significant others or fighting with our parents. But in actuality, if you were to make a movie about that or a comic about that, it's just somebody sitting in a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something visual about it. And you did a really good job of encapsulating like both what you were literally doing, what you were literally doing off screen, and then what is happening in your head.
Thank you.
Sorry, that was a little long. Anyway, it made me curious about how the internet is a space. Like, it is like a place that we go.
Uh-huh.
And I'm curious, what is like the first online place that really felt like your space?
Oh boy. That's a really interesting question. I guess we talked a little bit before the show about like my early use of online spaces. And I mean, I guess if you're not familiar with my work, a lot of it is like sort of computer internet based in one way or another. I guess like the early internet stuff I did was like AOL, like Instant Messenger, AIM, which is like not a space so much as it is like a direct line of communication. I guess like the early like internet spaces that I really like consistently visited were probably like flash game sites, like the old Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network website, where they would just like upload like terrible, like someone is learning Flash in the office type flash games based on their properties.
What were your games?
I remember playing some sort of like Scooby-Doo, like hidden object kind of like RPG game. And I also, I did a lot of Encarta, which is not where I got my name, but, is entertaining. I played a lot of Mind Maze, which was like an add-on to the Encarta program where you go through some sort of like poorly generated like representation of a maze, and then it asks you like historical trivia. Yeah. I did a lot of that.
What was like, I feel like for a certain type of person, for which I am not one of, a big part of growing up is you learn that you're really good at a thing and you get to do it in front of people. But for me and for a lot of people I'm friends with, that happens online. Like there's like a place you were posting in which you were just like killing it. And
sure.
What was that?
I don't know if I had anything like that. I mean, like, how PG is the show?
Not at all.
Okay. I feel like what I was really good at online was like masturbating. Like that was sort of like my, but like, I don't think I didn't really use the internet as like a way to like find specific community, you know, like, I wasn't like going to some anime forum and like talking about like the stuff I liked. I was like visiting websites like privately.
What is being good at masturbating?
I mean, being good at, so,
is this the thing you're comfortable talking about?
Yeah, why not?
Because I'm very curious about this.
Why not?
What is,
sure.
What is being good at masturbating?
I mean, I guess just like having like, it's easy to get burnt out on like the early web in terms of like, there's only so many like artifacted, like slow loading naked JPEGs that you can load. So like, this is probably when I was like 8 years old. I got like very good at like searching for like interesting combinations of words. Like, one I distinctly remember like being really excited about was bikini sex. It's like, bikini sex. Is that, you know, different than normal sex? And on his school computer, I typed the words zoo sex because I thought, like, what if someone was fucking in a zoo? And, of course, what I got was not that.
I know where your brain was going, and I'm kind of with it.
Yeah. It's like, that's just a wild place, you know? So I guess that's, like, a lot of the early internet was just, like, a way to explore and have like any privacy. Like I grew up in like a household really without any privacy, so the early internet was like a way for me to sort of like do the bad things that I wanted to without like fear of like being like watched by anyone.
Okay, when did you realize I want to Google zoo sex?
I mean, I feel like it was just like, kids are creative, you know, and also kids don't know shit. And so, like, I was at an age where I was like, I was raised wrong. Like, this is just like, to clarify, I was raised bad.
Wait, hold on.
It's like, you know, did anyone play Parappa the Rapper? It's like, you raisin bad. Yeah. That's to my parents who are playing the game of raising me. So I was like looking at a lot of like very hardcore pornography, but I also like didn't know that fucking was another word for sex, you know? No. I thought that fucking was something like incredibly undescribably filthy and like sex was just sex, so like I had to build up my courage to finally type in fucking, and then I was like really disappointed.
Same.
Yeah, right. So like I feel like that like creativity came more from like the taboo of it. It felt like an exciting thing that I was doing because like this was before like I was, like, even masturbating to it. I was just looking at it, right? Mm-hmm. It was, like, you know, again, like, you grow up with no privacy, and then you have, like, a machine that lets you do the ultimate taboo. And I wasn't interested in, like, looking at pictures of people getting hurt, right? So it was, like, fucking.
Where was your computer when you were growing up? What room was it in?
We had the computer room, because I am a child of the 90s. Yeah. We had the computer room, and it's also where my dad kept his classic comics collection.
So were there, like, people in the room with you while you were on the computer?
Most of the time, no. Sometimes there would be someone, like, there was, like, a little couch in the room. So sometimes someone would be reading, and then I would have to, like, you know, like, pretend to be doing anything else on the computer. But most of the time, it was, like, me alone in the room.
I feel like that's, like, the stratosphere of, like, how much privacy people have on the internet is like, I know tons of people who grew up like going on the computer and trying to like Google dirty things while their parents watch Survivor or whatever fuck was happening at the time. So you do a lot of selfie based zines.
Yeah.
Using the Game Boy printer, I believe.
So, there's a couple different things. I did a selfie newsletter a while back.
Yeah.
Where, like, you could sign up and I would send you, like, curated selfies and, like, essays about the selfies. And it was, hi, I'm a transgender woman. And this was a way for me to, like, feel less like shit and, like, feel like I had some control over my image because, like, every day I was, like, walking around and getting shouted at, like, in very scary ways on the street. And so I liked kind of this idea that like maybe they're shouting at me because they know me from my selfie newsletter. And so I started doing that. And then, those were like normal pictures that I take with my phone. And then the Game Boy camera / printer zines are more like my place to write about like much more vulnerable stuff. And the reason I use the Game Boy camera, which if you're not familiar, is like one of the earliest commercially available digital cameras. It's like a 1-bit, very simple, low resolution camera. And then the printer like prints on thermal like receipt paper. So, like, the images that it takes and produces are, like, very low resolution and like, non-specific. And there was something about that that I really liked when being paired with, like, vulnerability or, like, memory or trauma. Because, like, they're not crystal clear images. You know, like, if I have, like, a picture of my tits, I don't necessarily want it to be, like, a crystal clear image in this case. Because, like, that's not the point of this scene. So, like, using the Game Boy as, like, sort of a fuzzy intermediary was very useful to me.
So I am not a huge selfie person.
Okay.
Personally, just because I feel like it disrupts the image I have of myself.
Sure.
I don't necessarily have a bad mental image, but I do understand that it contrasts from what I actually look like, and I prefer not to burst that bubble.
Sure.
What is the specific serotonin rush of it? Is it the taking a picture of yourself? Is it the looking at the picture? Or is it the, like, showing it to other people
part? I don't know if it's a serotonin rush necessarily, but, like, I think it's something about control over your own image. You know, like, think of it this way. If someone takes a candid picture of you, it tends to be like you're in the middle of saying a word, your mouth is frozen in some weird, like, kind of shape, right? And you're hunched over, and you look at that, and you're like, I look like a truck carrying hamburger meat overturned on the highway, and this is the news photograph, and, like, that's the picture that was just taken, as opposed to a selfie where you can, like, sort of, like, curate the angle, and, like, you, like, turn your shoulders the right way, and, like, if you're like me and you're self-conscious about your neck, you stick your chin out a little bit so it looks like you have a more defined jaw in the picture. So, like, it's more about, like, potential, because if you can take a really good selfie that's, like, unfiltered, it's like telling your brain, like, there's a possibility that another human being could see me at this angle and, like, find me attractive the way that I find myself attractive in this photograph. So it's, like, more about, like, regaining control over your image.
You draw yourself in your comics
a lot? I do, yeah.
Is that a different process, photographing yourself and drawing yourself?
Yeah, because drawing yourself, I mean, I draw myself from memory. And, like, when I draw myself, it's largely symbolic. Like, I have hair that swoops like this, and I have glasses that look like this. And, like, you could draw a circle with these glasses and this hair and this bun, and, like, that's me, right? Like, it doesn't need to be very complicated. But with a photograph, like, there's... the camera is picking up everything that you might be self-conscious about all at once. So it's much more like a curatorial process. You know, when I take a selfie, I'm my own editor. I'm not, like, creating my image. The image is already there. Mm-hmm. I'm just curating it. When I'm drawing, I could draw myself however I want, you know, and it would still be me.
When you're trying to make art that's based in your life, what delineate something that you will use photography for versus something you will draw for? Is it that one's narrative and the other isn't, or does it have to do with how you're trying to depict yourself?
I guess in the case of the Game Boy zines, there was something that I liked. So within the sort of image editing system that the Game Boy camera provides, it has stamps that you can use to, like, add letters in sort of like a collage style, which is how I added all the text to those zines. And I liked this, like, concept of, like, a closed system. Like, these images and this text were created and produced all in, like, this very limited kind of way. And, like, that really spoke to me in terms of, like, the way that I think of, like, memory or self-conception. Whereas, like, when I'm drawing myself, that is something that I use in much more, like, linear narrative senses. You know, like, the Game Boy camera zines, excuse me, are more like poems, and then the other things I do are more like linear narrative storytelling.
Before I was really familiar with your visual work, I knew you from a podcast you used to host,
mm-hmm.
Which maybe still host. There hasn't been an episode in a while, but...
There hasn't.
It's called We Should Be Friends.
It's called We Should Be Friends.
It is you and a revolving group of... your roommate Casey and mm-hmm. friends of yours in yeah. Michigan, and each episode you pick a cartoonist and you just discuss their work,
mm-hmm.
and then you have what is kind of a like a inevitable conversation where you decide, should we be friends with this person? And then you all decide, mm-hmm. yes, for the most part.
Yeah.
What were the comics you were making before you did this show like? Because I've never seen them.
I mean, I don't know if the show is necessarily what changed my comics, but I've been making comics all my life, and, like, they've just gotten better, I guess, as I've practiced more. So, like, the comics I was making before I did the podcast in, I guess, like, 2013 or whatever, 2012 and going back, were, like, rougher versions of the stuff that I'm making now. Like, I did a bunch of comics in college. Like, I edited a comics magazine, and, like, I...
But is there, like, a reason why they're less visible? Like, it seems yeah. like you've gotten way better at promoting the comics you make.
I mean, I think
after you've done this show.
There's a very straightforward reason, and it's not, like, a podcast reason. It's, like, a gender reason. It's, like, I came out. So, like, a lot of the work I was making before I came out doesn't... I guess coming out allowed me to make stronger work because I didn't feel like I had to be coy about anything. Like that zine that you like, it's a young boy's fantasy. It's like a Tijuana Bible where I talk about a fantasy I had as a child where I'm in Chicago, I'm kidnapped by gangsters, they take me to a dungeon run by the sex queen of Chicago, and she forces me to have sex, and like it's totally cool because like I have nobody could blame me for it, you know? And then we switch bodies and it's trans. It's a whole thing.
That also happens in like 8 panels.
Yeah.
Incredibly efficient story.
It's very efficient. That's a Tijuana Bible for you.
Yeah.
I made that before I came out, and like that was about as like direct as I could be, but still people would be looking at that and be like, "Oh, that's weird." You know, like, how did you come up with this idea, young man? You know? And, like, a lot of the comics I was making before just feel kind of like that to me, where it's, like, I look at it and I'm like, oh, I was trying to say something, but, like, I couldn't quite. So, like, I don't know. I've gotten better at promoting myself and, like, feeling good about my work because my work has gotten better and, like, more honest and more direct as a result of, like, being able to come out.
In the process of coming out, your Twitter also blew up significantly.
Yes.
You have a great Twitter presence.
That's not true.
No, you do. You have a really good Twitter presence.
Thank you.
Do you think about Twitter as like an artistic endeavor, or is it promotional, or is it all venting?
I guess it's both. Like, you know, there's Carta Munir, me, the person, and then there's like Carta Munir, like the Twitter presence. I mean, like, anyone who like has like an online brand like knows this sort of weird distinction that happens where like you start interacting with people in ways, or like they have expectations of you that don't necessarily line up with you in real life.
Yeah.
And I mean, something that's been fun is that I mean, ever since like the death of my mother and like the explosion of my family, like I have nothing left to lose anymore, so I'm horny online all the time.
Hell yeah.
And it's, I don't recommend that journey to anyone, but like the outcome is okay. So I mean, that's fun, like that I get to like just do whatever I want, and it's kind of my job, you know? Like I think of very, very dumb bullshit and tweet it and get a whole bunch of likes and retweets, and then...
Do you ever not tweet something because you think it's too off-brand?
No.
You have a very, like, concise persona online in a way that I really admire because I can't do that, really. Is that a thing that comes naturally? Like, you're talking about being horny online is a thing that you had no reason not to do. So
right.
I'm assuming that you always wanted to do it, and now you're, like, really fully allowed to?
Yeah, sure. I mean, like, there's just, like, a lot of, like, thing. Everybody gets this, I assume. Like, you might hesitate posting some joke about, like, cum swapping on your main Twitter because you're like, what if my mom sees this, right? Like, everyone has that, like, moment of hesitation where it's like, what if grandma logs on and sees that I got a million retweets for the cum swapping tweet, you know? But, like, I now, in my free, unburdened lifestyle, don't hesitate. I just make the cum swapping tweet, and I revel in it.
Well, it's two things. It's both you don't hesitate, but you're good at it. Like, tons of people make the cum swapping tweet and are bad at it. Like, a lot of times people will make that joke, and people are just like, oh, no.
I guess the thing is, like, I'm very smart and cool. I'm very smart and beautiful and cool, and that helps.
Funny. You forgot.
I'm very beautiful and smart and cool and funny, and, like, so that is also, like, helpful to the brand. I would say, like, if you're, like, trying to brand yourself, those things are assets.
Is it a thing that you, like, tried out before?
Being smart and beautiful and cool and funny?
No, not that, but, like... You have a very good tone, and a lot of the times, like, anything that I'm good at doing online, I tried doing before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I spent most of my formative years, like, on forums and chat rooms, and a lot of my humor or my personality kind of comes from, like, at some point, I was using the internet as a way to, like, try out different versions of myself.
Sure.
And then I eventually realized, like, oh, this is kind of where I feel the most comfortable.
Sure. Being.
Where were you trying out, like, the specific persona you have of being cool, funny, and beautiful, and horny online?
And smart.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I forgot smart.
I mean, not to bring it all back to gender every time, but, like, I felt like shit before, you know? Like, I felt like garbage, and now I have any confidence. And so, like, having confidence is, like, the secret that's, like, made me, like, a much more fun person to be around. Because, like, when you feel like shit all the time, you're not fun or cool or funny. You could still be smart, I guess. You can have that one. But, like, you know, like, not feeling like garbage is, like, the big, like, switch that happened. You know, I had Twitter before, and I was making comics before, and they were fine, but, like, there was just, like, a level of, like, second-guessing and, like, self-hatred that, like, prevented me from, like, having fun, I guess, and that's not there anymore.
Cool. Well, thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a really great note to end it on. Everyone, thank Carta.
Thanks, everyone.
Rachel, you want to come up?
All right. Well, thanks for coming. Thanks for coming. Well, it's all a joke, you know. It's... All right. It's a bad shit, wait. I haven't played music in a while. I'm not a musician. I just write songs sometimes. It's a goddamn easy to lose touch. I've been around, but I haven't been around that much. Do you think I'm losing it? Do you think Is it too loud, the guitar? Alright. Gonna play new songs, but I don't know any of my songs, so I'm having fun. I'm just trying to be okay. That's what I'm going for.
Trust you.
the only thing I do, trust me. There's no one left to trust, trust you. To trust me way too much, who do you think you are? My phone for joining me on that one. Walking through the road, I wonder what it's like to feel good. Everybody says that it's great. Every time I see you. Thank you. I have like 6 minutes. I'm so bad at math. Well, okay. Cool, I only have two more. This is okay.
Don't trust the sign. You are an artist. Thank you.